Thanks for that, Pat. Awesome. Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to encourage you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Genesis. Today, we're going to be in chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right in front of you in the pew in the little slot. My guess is it probably starts on page 1. So, Genesis, first book in the Bible, first chapter, Genesis 1. Well, this morning, as we've come out of our Easter season, today we're going to be kicking off a new series on the topic of prayer. Now, over the years, as I have spoken with people and read articles and served in churches, I found something unique about prayer. Most people, both inside and outside of the church, tend to be very open to prayer. Meaning this, that either A, they themselves believe and engage in the practice of prayer, or B, they would at least be open to having someone praying for them. There are those who kind of just go, and they dismiss it as kind of, you know, a spiritual hoopla. But most people, it seems, are fairly open to prayer. The power of prayer. Matter of fact, there's multiple books that have been written on prayer. But here's an interesting thing as well. As I've read and studied and talked to people, while most of us are open to prayer, either, again, praying ourselves or being prayed for, many would say that they struggle with prayer. How many of you ever feel that way? That maybe, right? A lot of us, that maybe prayer isn't our strong point. I think this, we like the idea of prayer, but the practice of it is something that we wrestle with. As I was reading some articles, I came across some kind of prevailing thoughts on prayer. Maybe you fall into one of these camps this morning. There's the first belief that prayer is kind of this avenue in which we tell God what we want or what we need, and he then is obligated to give it to us. And it kind of makes God a giant vending machine in the sky, doesn't it? We go to God and, all right, I want B7. And then it always gets stuck halfway, and you got a shake machine? No. Right, so there's this idea that maybe prayer is just how we kind of just let God know, like, God, this is what I need, this is what I need you to do, and then God does it. And then there's this other thought, which is kind of just the exact opposite, that says, you know what, if God is God and he's all powerful and sovereign, then what does it really do to pray? If God's just going to do what he's going to do, then is prayer just kind of a waste of breath? Is it just wishful thinking? So what's really the point? But then there's this other thought. And I wonder if this is where many of us, at least in seasons of our life, find ourselves, is being discouraged in prayer. Feeling like maybe our prayer life is in a rut. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know how many times it is where I'm like, you know, I want to be a person of prayer. I want to be a person who really prays and seeks God. And it just feels like every time I sit down and write and I try to really engage that, it's like my mind starts wandering. You start thinking about 20 different things. Maybe you find yourself kind of just repeating the same thing over and over. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who struggles with that. But I can't tell you how many times I feel like that. And I just go, and it becomes discouraging. And kind of like, man, like, why can't I get this right? Well, I want to say this, that if any of that resonates with you, then really, I think that this series is going to be for you. I think it's going to be for me. Over the next several weeks, what I want to do is I want to unpack what does the Scriptures teach us about prayer? And what does the Scriptures teach us about how to pray? And I think that as we do that, it's going to help center us to really become people of prayer. If you think back, for those who were with us a few months ago, we went through this series on the book of Nehemiah, and we talked about what do we do when God puts holy discontentment in our heart? What do we do? How do we really live the life that God created us for? And we said this, that one of the first steps is spending time in prayer. And as we were going through that, it became obvious to me, and I thought about that more and more. I went, you know what? That might be that first hurdle to get through, because many of us sometimes struggle in this area. So my hope is that over the next several weeks, is that we'll grow and understand what really is prayer, why is prayer really important, and what does it look like to have a healthy and growing prayer life. Well, in order to do that, I think first and foremost, we got to talk a little bit about the God that we're praying to. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. Now the scripture is open in this way. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 3 says this. It says, and God said. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I find this statement very interesting. I find it interesting that the scriptures open in such a way that it doesn't really reveal what we would think it would reveal when the Bible opens. How many of you guys have ever seen Star Wars? Right? I don't know about you. How many of you guys remember the very first one, right? Not those horrible prequels they made, but the original, the good one, right? Episode 4. I remember as a kid going to the theater, my dad renting it. I wasn't born yet when it came out in theater. We've seen a different one at the drive-in. You guys remember those? That's right. Those are awesome. But I remember watching this, right? And you remember how Star Wars, it opens up and the scroll comes up, right? And this is the way the first one, right? Episode 4. And I remember as a kid going like, hang on, episode 4? Where's episode 1, 2, and 3? Right? There's like this backstory to the Star Wars story that has taken place already. And we get kind of filled in a little bit about what's already taken place. You know, the scriptures kind of open in a little bit the same manner. There's a backstory that's already taken place that we don't really know much about. So when we're jumping into this, Genesis 1, there's already a story that's taken place. And now we're kind of getting filled in. And it's interesting to me that one of the very first things that God chooses to reveal about himself is this. He is a creator who speaks. Now, if I were writing the Bible, I would start out by saying, okay, there is a God. This God is holy, or this God is powerful. This God, right? I would list these attributes of God, right? He's all-knowing. He's loving. But that's not what the author of Genesis wants us to learn right away. The very first thing he reveals to us is that there's this God who creates by speaking. I find that very interesting. That God, when he created the earth, as Genesis 1, it continues to tell us, he doesn't like wave a magic wand. He doesn't send angels to go and take care of it. But he speaks. The God of the Bible is a God who speaks. And interesting enough, as we continue to read on, in verse number 26, Scripture says this, that God says that he creates people to bear his image. Right? He creates people, not quite there yet. He creates people to bear his image. Now, sometimes when we hear that, we think this, I look like God. Right? God must have ears and a nose and two eyes and great hair. And, well, some of us can say that. I'm joking. But that's not really what it means. See, to bear God's image isn't necessarily just to kind of look like him feature-wise. It's to be like him. To bear his image is to reflect who he is. So when God created mankind, this creating, speaking God, when he creates mankind, he creates us to be like him, to reflect who he is, which means this, to be able to speak. Right? And what is speaking? It's communicating, is it not? Is this not why we speak? We speak to communicate. Our God is a God who communicates and who created us to communicate with him. Right? He's a God who communicates. Now, he does this through his spirit. He does this through angelical messengers. He does this through dreams and visions. He sends prophets. He's given us his word, the scripture. And ultimately, he gave us Jesus, God in the flesh. Our God communicates with us. We see this over and over and over through his scripture. And here's the cool thing. He created us to communicate back with him. He gave us things such as worship. You know, sometimes, I mean, you ever wonder this, right? We come, we gather together, and we go, you know, why do we do this? Why do we worship the way we do? Because it's one of the ways in which we commune with God, or communicate, excuse me, with God. It's a way that we speak to God. We communicate to God through our serving. When we go and we love others and we serve others, we're communicating to God. When we choose to surrender and lay down things and sacrifice for the kingdom, we're communicating to God. And then ultimately through prayer, through directly speaking to God. Right? Go back to that first question. Right, this idea that people of why should we pray? Well, I lost my spot in my notes. I apologize. So going back to that first question of why people wrestle regarding of why we should pray, I would say this, that not only is it one of the means in which God has given us to communicate to him, but more importantly, when we pray, we are reflecting the image of God. When we pray, we are reflecting the image of God. Matter of fact, to do this, to say I'm a follower of God and not have a prayer life is to suppress his image. It's to not fully live into that which he created us to live into. Because our God is a God who speaks. I mean, just think about that. Our God is a God who speaks. Does that change how we think of him? Does that change our heart's desire to know him and to speak back to him? Not in a negative way, but to commune with him, which is that second piece, that God communes with his people. The God of the Bible not only speaks, but the God of the Bible is relational. Genesis 1:26, when God creates man, look at how that statement begins. It says, let us. Let us. Have you ever stopped and wondered about that? Right? This story is telling the story of the beginning, but yet what we see here, again, is there's this whole backstory that we're not aware of. God says this thing, let us. Now, throughout the ages, right, in early Judaism, they really wrestled with this question. What is going on there? Who is God speaking to? Well, Jesus, when he steps onto the scene 2,000 years ago, he helps us wrap our mind around that, and we come to understand that the God of the Bible is triune. We believe that God, as revealed in Scripture, is three persons in one essence. Not three gods, one God who exists as three people. And it's very hard. I'll be the first one to admit it. It's very hard to kind of wrap our minds around that. God is three yet one. How is that? But yet that's what Scripture reveals. It's the reason why the church came up with this term, the Trinity. I don't know, maybe you guys have heard that word before. We happen to name our church building, right? This community after that. Think about this. Our God exists as three persons in one essence. Which means this, our God exists within community. Sometimes we have this idea that God created man because he was lonely. God created man because, right, he needed someone to hang out with. That's not true. That's bad theology. God created mankind because it is a reflection of his very nature. Because our God is relational. Our God exists within perfect community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is his very nature to do that, to commune, to talk, to have relationship. And he created you and I to do exactly the same. Our God exists in community. So when we pray, when we seek God, we again, right, we're fulfilling what it means to be created in God's image. As one who has relationship. You know, it's interesting. During Jesus' earthly ministry, one of his disciples comes up to him and he says, "Teach us to pray." Now, on the surface, we hear that and maybe we think this. Well, they didn't know, right? They're talking about some of the stuff we're talking. They didn't know what prayer was, or they didn't know how to pray. But it's interesting, in Jewish culture, especially for a male, he would have been required to memorize parts of what we would call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And it was part of their practice to memorize some of the prayers and then pray them. So when he comes to Jesus, he's not saying, "I don't know how to pray." I think what he's doing is saying this, "Jesus, I want the kind of relationship that you have with God." See, the disciples seen how Jesus had relationship with God the Father, how he would spend time with God the Father, how he depended and leaned on God the Father. And the disciples seen that and they went, "Hang on, we want that. We want a relationship like that. We want to know God like that. We want to have that intimacy with God like that." And you know what? I think the key is prayer. And I love this. Jesus doesn't respond to the person and go, "You know what? I'm God in the flesh. Him and I, we're kind of like this. Sorry, you can't do it." That's not what he says. Instead, what Jesus says is, "I'll teach you how to pray." And he gives them what Scripture labels and what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to break down the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to see exactly how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. But again, what I want to emphasize for you now is this, that God wants relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. I think sometimes this, that we think about salvation in the church, about Jesus came to save us, to free us from hell, but that's not really the full story. The truth is, Jesus came so we could have relationship with the Father, so we could know the Father, so we could commune with him. Now, think about this. So Angela and I, my wife, this year is going to be 14 years that we've been married. And right, I think about our marriage. I think about our dating process. Right? And how did we get to the point that we wanted to get married? It was through communicating, was it not? It was through experiencing life together. It was through sharing moments together. Now that we've been married for a season, right? We don't pull out our marriage certificate and kind of look at it and go, "Okay, we're married." We don't give a definition of marriage. We spend time, we work on our marriage by being together, by sharing our lives together, by communicating with one another. Your Father in heaven wants that same type of relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to share life with you. He wants to share moments with you. Do we allow God into those areas of our life? Are we inviting God into all of our moments and sharing them with Him and seeking His will and His understanding? Right? God wants relationship. And you can have it. That's the reason why Jesus came. And here's the cool thing. As we think about prayer, that not only does Scripture tell us that our God is a God who speaks and He's a God who desires relationship, but Scripture tells us this, that our God is a God who hears. 1 John chapter 5, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, right? Who believe in Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You know, I love that John uses this word confidence. We can have confidence that when we come before God and we share our hearts with Him, that He hears us. Kind of go back to one of those thoughts, right? Well, why even pray? God's just going to do what God's going to do. No, the Scripture says that God hears us. That when we pray, when we speak, God actually hears us. That means this guy, right, when he's on his knees before the Lord, just going like, God, I'm wrestling, I'm struggling, I need you. And sometimes I feel very distant from Him. Scripture says, hang on, don't trust that thought. Don't trust that feeling. Trust the Scripture that He hears you. God hears you. And if He hears us, listen to how John continues this statement. It says that He answers us. 1 John 5:15, it says, and if we know He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we can have the request that we asked of Him. So not only does God hear us, but He answers our prayers. Now, there is a piece in here that we have to understand. It says, right, when we pray His will. Some of us, self-included, expect things of God that God has never promised or said. And we get angry at Him when He doesn't then fulfill the things that He never said or promised. Now, maybe I'm the only one who's ever done that. But I know that there has been plenty of times where I have gone to God and been like, God, why would you allow this to happen? Why didn't you stop this? Why aren't you doing this? Right? I've prayed over and over and over for this. But the reality is, sometimes those prayers don't align with His word. Sometimes those prayers are in alignment with His promises. So I want to encourage you today, right, to know this, that you can have confidence to go before God, to let your desires, to let your needs be known, and He will answer them. But we have to be careful that we are praying His word, that we're praying His will. And then not only that, but that we're okay with Him saying no. Sometimes God says no. But here's the thing. If we're in relationship with Him, if we're speaking to Him, if we're listening to Him speak through things like His Spirit and through His Word, hearing no doesn't necessarily reflect a mean, judgmental, overbearing God who just wants to smite us or take away things from us. But we begin to understand that He's a loving God who sometimes says no to protect us. So the other day, have you guys ever been up to, there's an aviation museum in Oshkosh. Has anyone ever been to that? Super cool. So we went, and then we went a couple months ago, and then we noticed there's a theater there. So one of my favorite childhood movies is the movie The Rocketeer. Has anyone ever seen The Rocketeer? Okay, guy, he finds a backpack, like a jetpack, and he can fly around, right? He has an awesome helmet. It's fantastic. So we're up there, and they were showing The Rocketeer the other night on the big screen. So our family, we went up there so we could watch The Rocketeer, and it was fantastic. They had a replica of his helmet. I got to put it on. I was like, you know what? If I get lice, this is totally worth it. So here, kids, try it on too. But I love the movie The Rocketeer. It is one of my favorite childhood movies. Well, obviously, so I've shown it to my kids. They have watched it multiple times. One day, my son, Callan, who is 8 years old, comes up to me and says, Dad, will you buy me a rocket pack like The Rocketeer? Which in my head, I'm like, that would be pretty stinking awesome. So now, obviously, those don't necessarily exist in the same fashion as that movie. But would I really buy my son one of those? Would I really let him strap a jetpack to his back, hit a button, and like, absolutely not. He would be dead. No different than when we're getting the car and he says things like, Dad, can I drive? No, you're 8. Right? We say no because we love our children. I say no because I love my children. And I don't want anything bad to happen to them. Sometimes our Heavenly Father says no because he doesn't want bad things to happen to us. From our viewpoint, we see things and we go, hey, there's no way anything bad could happen from this. This is great. This is awesome. This is going to give me exactly what I want. And God goes, you know what? You can't see X amount of steps down the road. You can't see what this is going to do. You can't see how this is going to change your heart. You can't see how it's going to lead to this. This isn't where I want you. So sometimes God says no. But you know, when we're in relationship, when we're communing with God, when we're listening to him speak to us and we're speaking back to him, it helps us to trust him. It helps us to understand. There are plenty of things in my life that I look at and I go, God, I don't understand why you led me here to the, you know, to do this thing or go here or not to go there. But I have to trust as I'm in relationship with him that he's guiding my path and that the doors that he's shutting because he's saying, that's not what I want for you. That's not good for you. Right? That's only going to bring pain into your life. Here's the thing. God loves you. I don't know if you noticed on the board, we put out on the board on the street that God's grace is bigger than you could ever imagine. That is a true statement. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants for you to be in relationship with him. He doesn't want you to believe in him so you can have fire insurance from hell, so you can do kind of the religious thing. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be able to experience his love and his joy in your life. Right? He wants to have a relationship with you. And one of those ways in which we engage in that relationship, in which we reflect the image that we were created to reflect, is through prayer. So I want to encourage you this morning. Starting next week, we're going to start unpacking the Lord's Prayer. Of really what prayer looks like. But my hope is that maybe this will help start building a passion in your heart that you'll say, you know what, I want a life of prayer. I want my life to be centered on prayer and be in relationship with the Lord. I think that if we are going to be the people that God created us to be and experience the life that God created us to experience, prayer is essential. So with that, let me do exactly what we're talking about, and let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the gift of Jesus, for the gift of new life that we have in him because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. God, we give you thanks that you have given us the means in which we can have relationship with you by first and foremost putting our hope and our trust in Jesus to be forgiven of our sin, and then through engaging in listening and speaking through prayer. God, I pray for everyone here this morning, for those of us who struggle with prayer. Help us, God, to not be discouraged, to not allow our understanding of prayer to be muddied up by words of others or by past experiences. But God, may we receive prayer as you intended it to be, a gift in which you speak to us and we speak to you. God, help us as we engage to truly hear your voice, to be sensitive to your spirit, to align our prayers with your scripture, with your word, and God, to truly see those prayers answered as you move in our lives. Lord, we give you thanks that you have not abandoned us, that you have not left us, but your word teaches us that you are a speaking, relationship-oriented, hearing and answering God. Lord, we give you thanks for that this morning, and we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you please stand and join us as we close today with the song, Seek Ye First.
Well, please don't forget, we do have a time of a fellowship downstairs, so there's some tasty treats down there, so I encourage you to stop by. Also, too, Sunday school will be starting at 11. Well, my friends, believe the good news. We live in a world where a resurrection has happened. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. My friends, that changes everything. Grace be with you.